Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? I'm Jeff. It's The Ran. It's Wednesday, July 17th.
Is KFC still open?
I don't know, Will Farrell. I have no idea if KFC is still open right now. But we got a nice podcast planned for you today. We are going to dive into previews of the Cleveland Browns and the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll get that for you. Plus, I have plenty of mailbag to get to and another voicemail as well. I'm not going to be around the bush, though, so let's get right into it. We're going to start with the Cleveland Browns. It's an interesting team. It's a team that had an absolutely shocking run down the stretch for fantasy purposes, and I'm talking about Joe Flacco. I was in a league where I got knocked out of the playoffs, and my two quarterbacks, it was a super flex league, it's a keeper league, and I've been keeping Patrick Mahomes since 2019, and I've been keeping Jalen Hurts for the last couple of years as well, have him super late. I'm lucky. I'm loaded at quarterback. And if you know me, you know that in a regular super flex, I would never draft those guys. They go too early for my taste. But hey, I'll take it in a keeper league. So I have those two guys. I got knocked out of the playoffs last year by a team who was starting Jake Browning and Joe Flacco. So, and you know what? They were the better team. Flacco was on fire down the stretch. And it was so weird because there was hype about Deshaun Watson at this time last year. Many of us, including yours truly, said, hey, this is the year. And hey, it wasn't the year. Got hurt again, banged up, missed time, and he's only played 12 games over the last two seasons. Obviously, in 2022, that was largely due to suspension. It was not just largely, it was due to suspension. And then last year, injury. It has to be said that questions are there. He, in those 12 games, did not look like the same player he was in Houston. Seriously. You know it. I know it. My 90-plus-year-old grandma knows it. Like, everybody knows it. So the question is, can he regain that form? I don't have the answer. Obviously, I'm not from the future. I'm not the Terminator. I have no idea what's going to happen from here. I think you could argue that we've seen glimpses of potential, but glimpses of potential are not the things that fantasy championships are made of. We know that. So in one quarterback leagues, I think maybe you could view him as one of the last draftable options. He's currently coming off the board at QB 22. He's actually one spot behind Baker Mayfield in early ADP. I don't think that's going to stick, by the way, through the next month and a half. I really doubt that. He'll go before Baker in home leagues if he's drafted. Usually, there's about 18 to 20 quarterbacks drafted in one quarterback league, 12 team leagues, you know? So maybe he isn't drafted. Of course, if he isn't, then we keep an eye on him. If you happen to go safe and upside, you miss on some of the other upside options. And I'll get into the draft strategy. Like I said, that's an August thing. We're in July. But if you happen to go that approach, he's the last probably draftable option in that group in one quarterback leagues. In super flex leagues, I mean, hey, if he stuck around on the board until 24 quarterbacks were off the board, then yeah, of course, I'd draft him as my third quarterback, but I would feel really uncomfortable if I entered a season with him as one of my top two options. I want a high floor with those guys, and Watson hasn't offered that yet. So there's some volatility here. I will say, like, some of the numbers did look better last year. His pressure to sack rate was reduced from 27.4% in 2022 to 21.1% last year. All right. He threw the ball further downfield, 7.9 air yards per throw in 2022, 9.0 last year. Again, though, small sample. So he really just needs to show signs of life. So the question is, can he at least help sustain value for Amari Cooper? Cooper, honestly, I know people still hold that one season with the Raiders against him. I get that, whatever. But he's been pretty darn good over the course of his career, and he's coming off a very nice season. 2.31 yards per route run last year, which is a great metric, shows how efficient these guys are on a per route basis. That was only the third time he's topped 2.0 in his career. 72 catches, 1250, 5 touchdowns, all right, fine. But he also showed an enormous weekly ceiling. This dude had a 265-yard game. That was in week 16, too, when it mattered. Of course, Flacco was the quarterback. Caught 11 of 15 targets, had two touchdowns in that contest. So Cooper still has it. Now, he is 30 years old this year, but I'm not worried about that. In Dynasty, yes, I'd want to trade him away. But in redraft, nah, no, not at all. So right now, he is going wide receiver 24. I think it's a fair range for him. You know, if you take my draft approach, and, you know, people keep asking me, well, you talk about this approach all the time. Where do I see this approach? Well, you see it in the game plan draft guide. Over at ftnfantasy.com, you can use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And I break down all of the different draft strategies that you could potentially use. And then I break down the ones that I often use on draft day. Now, I'm not always using the same things because every draft is going to be different. But if you want to draft like me, or if you want to learn about these strategies, I'm not saying you have to draft like me. You can draft your own way, but knowing the strategies really helps. And I break it all down for you in a very easy to understand format. I actually have Cooper at wide receiver 23. So I'm right on ADP here with where he's going. Looks like, ADP has him and Cooper Kupp flip-flop from my rankings. I have Kupp one spot behind him. But anyway, we have Cooper there. You have Jerry Jeudy now in the house. He doesn't have to be, you know, the guy. I mean, not that he necessarily had to be in Denver, but it was always like, well, is it him or is it Cortland Sutton? It's clearly not him. You know, we clearly know who the number one is in this offense, and we'll get to see Jeudy do what he does well. He's a slot receiver who really generates a lot of yards after catch, 5.9 yards after catch per reception last year. That's good stuff, man. And he doesn't have the pressure of being the number one guy. So I think that's good for Jeudy. Is he draftable? Yes, but not as a priority, right? Of course, we know that. But taking a shot on him after 55 or so wide receivers are off the board, sure. I have him at wide receiver 59. ADP-wise, he's going 56. So he's like right in that range. Otherwise, we've heard some things that it's going to be Cedric Tillman as the number three second-year player. They kind of paved the way for this when they traded Donovan Peoples-Jones last year. But could still be Elijah Moore as well. We'll see. Neither one of those are really desirable for fantasy purposes. So the other piece in the passing game is David Njoku, who finally broke out last year. Seventh professional season, post career highs in receptions, 81, receiving yards, 882, and receiving touchdowns, 6. His previous career best was 4, and he did that 4 times. So he did it. But of course, a lot of it was with Joe Flacco. So that's the weird thing here. And this is the elephant in the room that people don't want to acknowledge. Was it just Flacco? Like, can Watson do that? Can the coaching staff just bottle whatever that magic was with Flacco and then, you know, unleash that with Watson? I don't know. So it is a little risky with Njoku. There's no doubt about it. He's still a top 10 option, though. You know, my fear with him is that we get back to where we were in 2022. He was a prime example of what I call the tight end merry-go-round. So the tight end merry-go-round is pretty simple. Tight end, maybe you draft the tight end and he doesn't do well in like week one, week two, you drop him, right? Of course, you know what happens when you drop him. The week you drop him, he puts up like 5 for 50 in a touchdown, which would be like a top 5 fantasy week, right? So he puts up big numbers the week you drop him. So then every waiver wire article out there, including any waiver wire content from me, this ding dong here that you're listening to, is going to say pick him up. So you pick him up. And what does he do when you pick him up? 1 for 12, right? So you drop him. And then a couple weeks later, guess what he does? Another big game when he's on waivers and you pick him up. And then when you pick him up, he has 2 catches for 18 yards. It's a never-ending cycle at tight end. Like, tight end is a broken position, and Njoku was like a prime example of that for quite some time. Now, last year he wasn't. He was awesome. Hopefully that continues. One area that I think they really should lean into is the end zone targets. Last year he had 10 end zone targets. He was the only tight end in the league to have double digits. So is he draftable for me? Honestly, he's kind of going in the tight end dead zone. Like, after that wheelhouse period, so for me this year, 5, 6, 7, 8 is the wheelhouse. 8, it's close on 8, but it does look like it's going to spread into 8 is the tight end wheelhouse zone. That is where I like to draft my tight ends in one quarterback leagues. I don't know if Njoku, he goes after that point. So I'm kind of letting somebody else have him. All right, the other looming question here for the Cleveland Browns is Nick Chubb. We know what happened last year. We saw it. I can't get that image out of my head. Whew. but he's recovering. The problem, we don't have a timetable. Like, it is good if there is any good to this. It's good that it happened very early in the season. It was the second game of the year. And by the way, he was having an incredible start. For his 28 carries last year, he averaged 6.1 yards per, 4.04 yards after contact per attempt. 28 carries, six of them went for 10 plus. And he had obviously the 100-yard game to start. So all the numbers were great. He is really one of the best of his generation. The problem, coming back from a major injury at 29. He'll be 29 this season. So it's rough. It's really rough. Will he be back for the start of the season? They're not telling us yet. We're going to have a much better sense when we're drafting next month than we do now. Like, if he starts out camp on the active PUP, I don't even think that's the worst thing. But if we get early indication from Kevin Stefanski and company that he's going to start the season on reserve PUP, which is a 4-week minimum absence, then we really have to readjust and change things around. As of right now, yeah, he's going to be on the board for a while. Like, there's a lot of pessimism associated with him. He's going as RB35, which I actually see him going lower than that. He's in the 40s in best ball, and best ball is usually a better kind of gauge of future ADP. It's not perfect, though, than ADP from just regular redraft. That's what I'm using here on the show. But I don't want to get ahead of myself there. I would say if Chubb is healthy, this is maybe a little light at RB35. Obviously, if he's going to be PUP'd, then yeah, it's maybe too aggressive. I'm ranking him right now as if he would be good to go, and that's at RB27. So again, we'll come back to this. We'll adjust as necessary. And then, of course, that would impact Jerome Ford, who'd be the next man up. The team did bring in Deontay Foreman, though, too, so that is worth knowing. All right, let's move over to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not going to bury the lead here. The biggest story here is CeeDee Lamb and whether or not he holds out to start the season. So if you're kind of wondering like the ins and outs here, so CeeDee Lamb is on the fifth-year option, rightfully so. He's pretty good. He's coming off an absolutely enormous season last year. 135 catches, 1749, 12 touchdowns. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And on the fifth-year option, he's slated to make just under $18 million. Let's call it 18, right? Fully guaranteed. Of course, he wants a long-term deal. And we've seen contract numbers kind of go through the roof a little bit here at wide receiver. You know, wide receivers are getting paid. Justin Jefferson is the top of the market at 35 average annual. AJ Brown is north of 30. He's actually at 32 average annual. So is Amon-Ra over 30 and Tyreek Hill over 30 as well. So it's going to cost you Justin Jefferson money. And the real sticking point for Justin Jefferson, the guarantees. Almost 89 fully guaranteed, completely reset the market there. Previous high was it Tyreek? Yeah, it was Tyreek at 52.5. That's a big jump. Total guarantees, 110. Previous high there was 84 by AJ Brown. Remember, total guarantees and fully guaranteed are not the same thing. It's stupid, I know, but the only money you are actually really guaranteed when you sign your contract is fully guaranteed. There are different types of guarantees. So anyway, enough about that. It's going to cost the Cowboys. But they also have two other looming problems. Dak Prescott is in the final year of his deal, and I'll talk about him in a minute and why he deserves a bigger deal as well. And, that's right. They have one of the best pass rushers in the league who's coming up on a deal as well in Micah Parsons. So they need to make something happen here. And the latest word is that CeeDee Lamb will hold out if a deal is not in place by the start of camp, which is coming up next week. just tossing that out there. So what do we do? Honestly, I think they're going to figure something out. Even if it's CeeDee Lamb holds out for a week, and he will be fined if he holds out. Last year's number was about 50,000. I think it was 50,000 a day. And so obviously over the course of a week, you're talking 350K. It adds up pretty quickly, eats into your overall salary. But I don't think it's going to last that long. They need CeeDee Lamb, but they also need to figure out Dak. And they're in a weird spot from a cap standpoint, not a very good spot this year, but a really good spot next year. So I think they ultimately do get this done. CeeDee Lamb, if you don't have him as the number one fantasy wide receiver, you have him as number two. You have to be in the first half of the first round to select him. You know he's awesome. I know he's awesome. He is incredibly talented, and he's going to get paid. Now, the challenge, as I mentioned, is Dak Prescott. And I'll come back to wide receiver, but I do want to talk about Prescott now. Prescott in 2022 was much maligned for interceptions. Now, I'm not a huge one for interceptions. I don't use that stat to just pin on the quarterback because not all interceptions are created equally. Sometimes an interception is the quarterback just screwing up. Sometimes an interception is the wide receiver screwing up. Sometimes the interception is neither. The quarterback can do the right thing. The wide receiver can do the right thing. And then the corner or whoever's in coverage just makes a freakish athletic play. Like, all of those things can happen. So the one that I'm worried about, concerned with, focus on for quarterbacks is when they make the mistake. That's called an interception-worthy throw. And, you know, Prescott really wasn't as bad as it was made out in 2022. Well, he bounced back last year. He only had 9 picks on the season, led the league with 36 passing touchdowns, 4,519 passing yards. Decent on the ground, too, 242 rushing yards. I mean, that's just extra points. Plus 2 rushing touchdowns. The thing that I loved about Dak Prescott last year, though, the number one thing for fantasy, this isn't going to maybe factor into his contract, but this is why I love him for fantasy, 67 end zone throws. When you add that up, it's almost 4 per game. My magic number, my line in the sand, is at least twice per game. If you're throwing the ball to the end zone at least 2 times per game on average, you know, you're doing what you need to be doing to produce enough touchdowns to really be viable for fantasy purposes. You're not in the Daniel Jones territory. Well, he nearly doubled that. I mean, it's no coincidence that he led the league in passing touchdowns in a year where he averaged almost 4 end zone throws per game. So I love Dak Prescott. Now, the question is, first and foremost, will they figure something out with him before the fact? Because one would think he's going to have to be well north of 50 average annual based on where the quarterback market is. I don't know, but there's no threat of him holding out, unlike CeeDee Lamb. Like, we haven't heard Dak Prescott plans to hold out. So we have that. Now, looking at him from an ADP draftability standpoint, is that viable for Dak Prescott? And unfortunately, I don't think it is. Current ADP has him going at quarterback 8, which is about right. I think he's a top 10 option. I have no issues with viewing him that way. My rankings right now, guess where I have him? Quarterback 9. So he's like right in that range. And quarterback 9 is literally going one pick after him. He's 62 overall. Jordan Love is 63 overall. So anyway, the point being, that's a period, the middle rounds, where in one quarterback leagues, I'm not drafting quarterbacks. In super flex leagues, he's going before I start to look at the position. So unfortunately, I probably won't get a piece of him there, but there are ways to get a piece of Dak Prescott. Otherwise, as I mentioned, CeeDee Lamb, but if you don't get him, Brandon Cooks was not bad last year. Now, he wasn't great. He wasn't great, but he did have 8 receiving touchdowns, and he is the clear number 2 receiver. You know, the Michael Gallup experience is over. Jalen Tolbert should get more run this year, but the targets are going to go to Lamb, to Cooks, and then to Jake Ferguson, who I'll get to in a moment. I don't hate the idea of Brandon Cooks. If you're getting him, you don't have to pay for him, you know? And at this point, he's coming off the board. Well, I am at wide receiver 54, so that's cheap. And he's going wide receiver 59. So I actually am a little higher than ADP on him. Either way, he had 17 end zone targets last year. Like, it's not a coincidence that he had 8 touchdowns. He still has speed, by the way, too. He's going to be 31 this season. He hit 20 plus miles an hour on 13 of his routes last season. Only Tyreek Hill had more. He had 19. 20 plus mile an hour speeds on routes. So Cook still has it. It's just, he's not likely to be a 100 plus target guy. So you're still going to be really touchdown reliant. I do think we could see 100 plus targets for Jake Ferguson, as I mentioned. So Ferguson coming off of a very surprising season where he said, oh, Dalton Schultz did that. So can I, 71 catches, 761, 5 receiving touchdowns on 102 targets. He's not going to stay in the block. He ran a route on 95% of his passing snaps. So not going to stay in the block. He's going to be out there catching passes. But the problem is, like David Njoku, he's going after my tight end wheelhouse. He's tight end 9. So he's actually going only 2 picks ahead in Njoku. I have them reversed in rankings, but again, like we're splitting hairs there. They're going in the same range. And, you know, I think it makes sense, though, because the ceiling is somewhat capped here with Ferguson. We know that the ball is going to go to CeeDee Lamb first, foremost, and then, you know, everybody's kind of picking up the scraps. And then the other thing is, you know, with Ezekiel Elliott back in the mix, I expect a lot of goal line work for him. You know, the last time he was here, 2022, he had 19 goal line carries. He was one of the highest in the league, scored 12 rushing touchdowns. And sure, Zeke doesn't quite have the speed he did. Not that he was ever the fastest running back, but he doesn't have that what he had earlier in his career at age 29. But he can still, he's still a big dude. He's still 6 foot, 225. He can still pound it when they get down in the goal line area. So I do think there's a bit of a cap on Ferguson. Now, to Zeke or not to Zeke? That is the question. I think there's some viability here. I really do. I don't love Ezekiel Elliott, and that's fine because we don't have to pay for Ezekiel Elliott. Right now he's going to RB 40. I am at RB 37. RB 37 to 40 are split by 5 picks. So we're going in that range. You're talking about a round 10 pick. So he could be your fourth running back that you select. Could he perform the best out of that group? Sure, viable. If you go middle round approach at running back, yes, that is actually viable if he scores a bunch of touchdowns in one of the league's most potent offenses. But the challenge with that touchdown dependency is there could be some down weeks in there. So it's something to consider, but I'm not hesitating to take Ezekiel Elliott at, you know, again, at like RB 37, 38, 39, no problem there. None whatsoever. Because he's not going to have any competition from Deuce Vaughn. And yes, Rico Dowdle could be in there. But, you know, like, what is there's a lot of hype on Rico Dowdle. But what has he really done over the course of his career? He wasn't really used in his first three professional seasons. Last year, he goes 247 snaps, 6.6 touches per game. You know, I don't know, with Pollard, who obviously didn't live up to expectations, you would have thought maybe they would have given him more runs. So what makes us think now? And now, they go out and get a guy who they know quite well and they know can still, even at an older age, handle a big workload. Like, let's face it, Zeke had, 235 touches last year? So I just don't see it with Dowdle. I know others do, but I'm not up to that one. All right, so I want to move over to the mailbag here and get into some questions. So Kevin is checking in, and he's looking at keepers. I'm going to warn you guys, and I'm going to keep saying this until I'm blue in the face. If you're making your keeper's decision, like, it's July 17th, so I don't know, by the 19th, then now is the time to make your keeper decision. But if not, let's wait, because we don't know what's going to happen in the coming weeks here as camp opens up. And I'm going to tell you right now, things are going to happen. I can't predict what they are, but I can tell you they are going to happen. And that includes trading. It looks like he said he traded his fourth and fifth round picks to help him win the championship last year. So you sold your soul, Kevin. Would I consider trading AJ Brown for a second round pick? Right now, no. And precisely why is his other options are Nico Collins and Trey McBride as I think he keeps three players and he's deciding between these guys. Any one of these guys could get hurt. He's keeping CeeDee Lamb and McCaffrey, he's saying. Well, you are, unless they get hurt. And that can happen at any point before we get to the season. You know, just because you're a superstar doesn't mean you're immune to getting injured. So my advice, no, I'm not making any moves like that right now. I am going to wait until essentially the week of. At that point, could you potentially make a trade? Sure. But right now, you're putting the cart in front of the horse. And I can't play the game that way. It's just way too volatile for me. Moving on to Dan. Dan saying some nice words here. He said he's struggling to wrap his head around my late round quarterback strategy. Said he fully understands and agrees that I start more players at other positions, but here's questions he can't shake. He said, I agree holding off on quarterback. I think drafting your starting quarterback should happen before drafting bench players. All right, well, here's first and foremost, let me address that. I don't draft bench players. I draft players, any player that I am drafting, I think has the possibility of starting for me. If you're going to draft bench players, you know what? They're going to be on your bench, and you don't want that. And I'm not drafting a starting quarterback. I'm drafting two quarterbacks, either of whom could be starters. So it's a completely different mindset. Like there's that old phrase, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. If you change the way you look at building a roster, your roster is going to change. I don't draft bench players. If you do, you're drafting guys who should be on your bench. And I don't think that's the right way to go about it to build a really competitive roster. So he said, if I draft an anchor in round one, I'm holding off on running back until round seven. That means between round two and six, five selections, I could select three starting wideouts, a starting tight end, and a starting QB. Sure, if you look at it that way, but I'm not worried about quote-unquote starters because you're assuming that those three guys are going to be the best options. But what if the wide receiver you draft as your fifth wide receiver, so say you draft that guy in round six, ends up being the best of the bunch? You don't know that. And it's, you know, these are the things that play out year in and year out. He said, why would you want a fourth wide receiver before a quarterback? I want as much ammunition at wide receiver as possible. I know I can make up ground on my opponent at quarterback. I can't do that at wide receiver. And I can't navigate the minefield of a fantasy football season without a lot of depth at that position. And I mean high-end depth. So I want that before a quarterback. And I'll tell you, everybody who drafted that quarterback in round six last year was kicking themselves to do so. If you have enough firepower and ammunition at wide receiver, you're going to do quite well later on in the season. He said, I find value in having a top 12 quarterback that is locked in as my starter, so I'm not chasing points based on matchup. Well, that is not the approach either. The approach is try and swing for the fences and hit a home run with the top, with the upside option. And if you don't, you have the safe option. We're not chasing points at all. We're not, you know, not chasing points whatsoever. And, you know, let's be clear, you could have drafted a quarterback as a quote unquote top 12 option who got outplayed by somebody who was drafted in the late rounds last year. You know, that happens all the time as well. So why sacrifice the value in the middle rounds or even early rounds at quarterback when you can really build up a lot of firepower at wide receiver? That's the approach. And I know a lot of people really kicked themselves, like I said, for not taking that approach last year. Let's see. Joseph's asking a team defense question. That's down the line. I'll tell you right now, I have not done any drafts with defense in them. I'm doing a lot of best balls right now. I'm not worried about defense yet. We'll talk team defense in August. Sorry. Everything in its own place though. Like I always say, you're not ordering dinner when you go out to breakfast. Like the server doesn't come up and all right, I'll have the moons over my hammy. Yeah, sir, but what would you like for dinner? Let's wait until dinner until we get to that. D. Washington checking in saying, I think I heard Aaron Jones' name a couple times without you saying who. I'll forgive you because you're still in preseason form. I'm not going to do the joke every single time, I think is what he's getting at. The joke is based on Mike Jones. I'm not going to do it every single time. And you know, people who listen to the radio show probably are hearing this a lot now. I get tired of doing the same shtick over and over and over. And so I evolve. Like, honestly, this podcast is not the same as the first iteration of this podcast from 3 years ago, 4 years ago. This podcast is not the same, surely isn't the same as the podcast I was doing in like 2014 for PFF. Like, totally different. Things evolve. So, yeah, I've done that joke a lot. I don't have to do it every single time. Got a follow-up email next from Scott, who I think I talked about yesterday. He said he appreciates me taking the time and giving the thoughts on his bye. His league is a 10-teamer, four make the playoffs, two rounds each. Ugh. Yeah, that's rough. He said they could look into voting on it next year. Yeah, I hear you there. That is, I get it. The whole idea of a two-week playoff matchup is to kind of eliminate some of the variance. He said to follow up, though, the league is auction and super flex. They actually have an auctioneer coming. That's important. He said, does it make sense to throw Lamar, Richardson, and Stroud out for people to bid on early or because they don't meet super flex QB criteria? Okay, so you're confusing. Auction strategy is going to be different than snake strategy. So you could throw them out there. I mean, early nomination strategy for me often is I'm going to get like Stroud would be one because I know people are going to bid on him. But I also know that in my experiences in auctions over the years, quarterbacks go for less than you expect them to go for. So something to note there, I wouldn't go too overboard and nominate too many quarterbacks, because then also people are probably going to figure out what you're doing. Aaron has a keeper question. Well, let's see if it's something that we can answer now, or is it something we're going to wait on? He said 10-team league. I don't care about the scoring, by the way, guys. Scoring really doesn't matter if it's half PPR or non. There's such little difference between them. The most important things are your roster requirements. So if you're a super flex, which this one is, or you know, also how many teams, 10, 12, 16, whatever. He said he gets to keep two guys, Bijan in the second, then either Jordan Love or Jaden Reed in the last round. What do I think? I think it's not time to make the decision, Aaron. Unless you have to make it this week, in which case, email me back. And you know, honestly, I'll tell you flat out, I don't keep quarterbacks. I really don't care about the last round. If anything, that shows you you're more than capable of drafting a quarterback in the last round who can be a keeper, so you could do it again. If you did it once before, you can do it again. But again, it's too early to make keeper decisions on July 17th if you're not drafting until late August. Too much is going to happen between now and then. All right, I had one more thing here. I also had somebody call in on the voicemail, so let's get over to that right now.
Hey, Jeff, what's going on? This is James from Jupiter, Florida. Well, you got any tips on Dynasty? On where can we find some Dynasty content from you? I know there's a little bit on FTN, and I am a subscriber there, but there's just not a ton of it, and I can adapt. You know, I've been playing. This is my 10th year, so I'm, you know, I think I'm pretty decent at Fantasy, so I can adapt what you do have, but are you able to point me in the direction of some of your Dynasty football content or how to go about getting that? Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I can absolutely do that. So you're right. FTN is where you would get it all. And I do an entire guide on rookies. So the Rookie Fantasy Scouting Guide breaks down all the rookies, the viable rookies for from both a football scouting perspective and a fantasy football outlook perspective. So I do one version before the draft, one version after the draft that has my rookie draft boards in it, has you know, thoughts on all these players and all that. So that's for rookie drafts in Dynasty Leagues. Otherwise, I put out this article. It's five tips for Dynasty Leagues. Three of them are based on startup. And then I talk about trades with the Dynasty criteria. So when I want to trade players away and management stuff. And then the reality is when we're in season, you don't make start sit decisions any differently than you do in a redraft league. So you can just use redraft rankings there. And I think this is a long-winded way of me saying there really isn't that much to Dynasty. I know people think it's this complex thing that's way more complex than redraft. And believe it or not, my Dynasty draft strategy is significantly, for startup drafts, significantly simpler than redraft. And really, that's because I'm trying to build a young team that is full of value. So it's more of a value-based approach where I focus on age in drafts, and that's it. You know, and I have my age limits. So you can Google Jeff Ratcliffe 5 Dynasty Tips and you'll find it. And then from there, in rookie drafts, I never draft for need. I'm always drafting the best player on the board when I'm up. And the last thing is I focus on trading players away when they get into my age criteria. So I'm talking 5 years in the league, age 26 season for running backs, 8 years in a league, age 29 season for wide receivers. There's no criteria for quarterbacks because their shelf life is so long. And really for tight ends, there are so few good ones that if you have a good one, you just want to run them into the ground at this point. If that could change in the future, but that's what it is right now. I mean, that's really it. That's really it. So check those out over there. And then, of course, for any specific strategy stuff, we have the FTN Discord where you can talk directly to me and the rest of our staff. So I appreciate the call. If you want to email in, the email is therantpodjr@gmail.com. If you want to call in, and that was all one word, by the way, if you want to call in, the phone number 215-720-1708. And no, that is not my number. It's just a Google number. It's not my, like, yo, you up? That's not my real phone number. I just set it up for this show. So you can call into that voicemail at any point. And again, if you call in, I'll play it on the podcast. All right, that does it for today. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Follow me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. Follow me on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. Tomorrow will be the last pod of the week. We will dive into Denver and Detroit. And then I'm off to LA for the weekend, Boston after that, but we'll be back with more podcasts after that next week, okay? But I'll catch you tomorrow on the flip side for another edition. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.